prayer request on, feel free to do that. And that's what it's there for. And so if you've got something or someone that you want others to pray for, please feel free to do that and lift them up. And remind me tonight before we close to take prayer requests. Sometimes I get preaching and my mind forgets. I get one-track mind on something else. But it is good to see you. Good to see Miss Doris back with us tonight. And I want you turning your Bibles to Psalms chapter 121. The other day when Sister Linda was here, she sung a song in Psalms 121. She said that's one of my favorite ones that she does, and it is one of my favorite songs that she sings, and I love this psalm. I love a lot of psalms. You know, songs are very important. Just like those two songs that Kayla and Darlene just sung, they help set the standard. Like always to me that what we're preaching on and the spirit of the message seems like when someone sings and if they're following the leadership of the Lord, seems like it always just falls right in into where the spirit of the service is going to go. And in Psalms 121, if you're familiar with starting with chapter 120, these are called the songs of degrees. So some people call them song of sense. There's four lines of thought pertaining to these. One is that Israel, when they were in Babylon, they would look forward to the journey back to Jerusalem. Another one was that they would stand upon the steps of the temple, leading up into the temple, and they would sing a different psalm, each one that stood up on the step and would sing a different psalm. Now, most people think it's one of the latter two on the three feasts, the Feast of Passover, the Feast of Pentecost, and the Feast of Tabernacles. Israel would travel to Jerusalem. And sometimes we read of them going from this point, going into Jerusalem, and we just think of a journey, we just think of a small journey. But many of them had to take long, dangerous journeys. I've read that there were tens of thousands of thieves all around the hills of Jerusalem. And that's why Paul wrote one time that he was in peril all the time traveling. Because, I mean, there's always people that wants to steal what you've worked for. And, you know, that is what is destroying this country right now. When you start permitting people to just steal, then they get a sense that they're deserving of that thing, even though they didn't have to work for it. And they think somehow that it's okay for them to take your stuff, but then they don't think it's right for anybody to take their stuff. Of course, most of the time they don't have stuff except what they took from somebody else. And, you know, I believe Brother Eric was talking about this morning. It disturbs me to no degree to see them come and start marching down the streets and start busting windows out of stores and carrying stuff out by the armloads and no one doing anything about it. It just burns me up. And, you know, because all it does is it sets the groundwork. This country, unless things change, this country is setting the groundwork to have people to trust in the wrong thing. This little penny reminds me that this country was supposed to be in God we trust. How can we fix the problems? Learn to trust in God again.
You want to know how to be a shining light
night on a hill, trusting God. But what's happening is this: we are being conformed to trust in the government. And what's going to happen? Become our God.
And they will become the source where we look to for help. Every time we get in something, we'll look to them, and they'll be our only hope.
But that hope will run dry. Yep. The Bible says the fear of man is a snare. And you know, a fool is one that trusts in man and doesn't trust in God. The Bible says if we trust in the arm of flesh, we'll be cursed. We trust in the arm of God, we'll be blessed. Psalms 121, we read of someone that is going through tough times. We've got to understand, and by the way, I didn't say the fourth one. The fourth one was just a pilgrimage to Jerusalem and ascent up on the hill of Jerusalem. Now, when we look at this, what we have to understand is that we are pilgrims. Keep your finger there a moment before we read Psalms 121. And look with me, if you would, in Hebrews chapter number 11. In Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us about a lot of people that went through a lot of things. And by faith, they were able to overcome everything that was that God asked them to go through. But in verse number 13, it says, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on the earth." Look, if you would, over in 1 Peter chapter number 2. In 1 Peter chapter number 2, notice if you would, verse number 11. He says, "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as what? Strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust,
which war against the soul."
Now turn back, if you would, in Psalms 121. Now I want you to picture in your mind a pilgrim making a journey. Now, regardless of which journey this is, journeys are perilous. They're dangerous. They're long journeys. Sometimes, as I started to say, we read of someone making a journey in the Bible and don't realize that sometimes they made 30, 50, 100-mile journeys, and they made it by foot. Very dangerous. When I was down in Panama preaching to the Indians, some of them came to the service that we had, and they had walked 3 days and three nights without stopping. And during the nighttime, they had very little light as they walked. One of them stepped upon a deadly snake, and he stepped upon his head. And they were able to get the snake out from under his foot before it bit him. And he come and he stopped the service just wanting to praise God for his protection on his journey there. And for 3 days and three nights, they had walked barefoot through those mountainous areas. And I think sometimes we forget, folks, we are pilgrims here. This is a journey that God has put us on. We start on this journey the moment that we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Our pilgrimage, this world is no longer our home. We are going toward home. We're going toward a city that we have not seen. We're going toward a place that is beyond our imagination what it's going to be like. It's hard to fathom living in a place where no sin is. It's hard to fathom living in a place where all shall be satisfied. It's hard to fathom living in a body that never grows old. It's hard to fathom having a body that never has aches or pains or no illnesses. It's hard to fathom living a life where we never have any parting again. No death, no sorrow, no night, no tears. What a wonderful place we are going to. But until we get there, we're going on this journey. It would be nice sometimes, I guess. We'd like to know what tomorrow holds. But as that song Kayla sings, it's best that only God knows that. Sometimes tomorrow would scare us to death if we knew what was going to be on the next page of our life. So therefore, what we have to do is we have to have someone to help us on this journey. We have promises all through the New Testament for those of us who are saved. He will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll be with us until the end of the world. Therefore, what we need to understand is when Jesus promised that it was expedient that he should go and his Father would send back the Comforter. The Comforter was the Holy Spirit. And if you remember on our text this morning, David comforted Bathsheba, his wife. What the Bible means by comforted, he was beside of her, he was right beside of her, and he was helping her through what she was having to go through with losing her baby. The Holy Spirit was given to us as a comforter, not to be by our side, but to dwell inside of us. And it was to help us through everything that we will face as we go through this journey. Now, sometimes there are lessons that we have to learn on this journey. Paul had to learn in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he had to learn in verse number 7 through 10 that God put him through some things before he could learn and not be exalted above measure. He got to do some things that no other man got to do. He got to see into heaven. And of course, John got a vision into heaven, but Paul got to see up in heaven. He saw things that he did not even have words to describe. He said it was unutterable. He could not find words to describe what he got to see. And therefore, unless he would be exalted above measure, God sent upon him a thorn in his flesh. A lot of discussion about what it was, but we don't know what the thorn was, but we know what the ministry of the thorn was. And the ministry of the thorn was to bring and make Paul humble after getting such a privilege to be able to view heaven. And you can find all this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And then he said that for him to be able to learn with a thorn in the flesh, he had to become weak to find the strength of the Lord. And I'm afraid many times we look everywhere else for our help but to God. Read with me, if you would, Psalms 121. And he says, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. Now, I've heard two train of thoughts about the hills. I read one author had thought that the hills was looking at the hills of Jerusalem. And therefore, while they were in Babylon, they would look at the hills of Jerusalem and think about where their help would come from. But I've read others who said the hills was not the help. The hills was where the enemies were. The hills was where the battles was going to be fought. And so what they did was when they looked at the hills ahead of their journey, they were asking themselves, whence cometh my help? Where am I going to find help as I make this journey of this pilgrimage? Where's it going to come from? So he said, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. Sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall not preserve thee from from all evil, shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth. In even for what? Forevermore. Now keep your finger there a moment and turn back if you would to Psalm 115. In In Psalms 115, again, we are directed not to be as the world. And where we have a journey, we also have a comforter. We have someone who makes this journey with us. We have saved, it's not your help. And in Psalm 115, he says, verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not to us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy true sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But their God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. And neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them, so is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And as we go on this journey, we need to understand who our help is. Now, let me tell you something, and I'm sure most of you have found this out, but you're going to find it out even more so as time goes on. I don't want to discourage you, but those golden years, the only thing I can figure out is if you got any gold, they're going to get it before you leave there. Amen, because they just keep, everywhere you come, they're coming at you with it. But the point of the matter is, as Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes, there's a lot of things on this old body that begin to wear out. These bodies are not made to live forever, folks. These bodies are given to us as a tent to be in while we make this journey. These tents are not the tabernacles that's going waiting upon us that's made without hands. God has a body, a greater body. But until that time, we have to make our journey in these tents. And making these journeys in these tents, they're temporary, and therefore there's going to be a lot of things that happen. And I could start right here and go around the room and come back over here, and starting Brother Junior and ending up Brother Cliff, all of you would probably have a story about your tent giving out on you somewhere along the way or issues coming in your life. But sometimes there are real serious issues that we have to face. Sometimes we are overwhelmed by what we face here. Stay with me a moment, and the book of Psalms is very important. It helps us not only know how to praise God in song, but it's also very helpful to know that we're not by ourselves. Other people have been there too. Turn with me in the book of Psalms, and let's look at a couple verses, if you would. And let's begin, if you would, in verse number 42, or chapter 42. In Psalms 42, look with me in verse number 5. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou where? In God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. In other words, the fact that he is there. Why do we get so discouraged? We get discouraged because whenever we get overwhelmed, we begin to look to everybody else to help us. But we need to look to the one source that can help. Turn with me, if you would, over in 55, Psalms 55. In Psalms 55, look in verse 5. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath what? Overwhelmed me. Sometimes we get scared. We get our eyes off of God. We get our minds and hearts off of heaven. We get our eyes upon just this world, and we get afraid. Does not want us afraid. He wants us to trust in him. He does not want us to be like the heathen, trusting in something that cannot do, cannot hear, cannot speak, cannot walk, cannot talk. He wants us to trust in the one who made heaven. Look, if you would, in Psalms, chapter number 61. In Psalm 61, look, if you would, in verse 2. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is what? Overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Sometimes our heart just gets overwhelmed with what we're having to go through. Overwhelmed. And so what we need to do is this. We need to find the rock. Remember the rock in chapter 40? The rock that he picked us up out of the old miry clay and set us upon? Sometimes we need to go back to the rock of ages. When we're going through and we're getting overwhelmed with things. Look, if you would, in Psalms chapter 77. In verse 3, he says, I remember God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was what? My spirit was just overwhelmed. Look, if you would, in Psalms 124. In Psalms 124, look in verse 4. Then the waters had overwhelmed us. The stream had gone over our soul. Psalms 142, verse number 3. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. Look in Psalms 143, verse 4. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. So tonight I want to share with you a thought from Psalms 121. A psalm on our pilgrimage. To find help during our pilgrimage. When we get overwhelmed. First of all, you need to do this. Remember who you are. You are dust. Remember who you are. You are branches. Without the vine, you can do nothing. You need the Lord. All of us who are saved, somebody said Christians has to have a crutch. You're right. I have to have a crutch. And my crutch is Jesus. He is my crutch. He is my help. He is the one I lean upon. He is the one that I trust in. When I become overwhelmed, when my soul within me, my spirit within me becomes overwhelmed, when my fears begin to overwhelm me, I look to the rock that is higher than I. I trust in the Lord. We need to remember who we are. Sometimes we think when we're going through something that he has lost interest in us. Sometimes David, we read this morning about David. David went through some things. But God never quit loving him. He never lost interest of him. And when David couldn't see above, before him, God could see where he was going to take him. He could see what was going to happen. Thank God that he knows tomorrow. Now, we not only have to remember who we are, but let's not forget who he is. Look in the book of Isaiah. He reminds us who he is. Look in chapter 40, one of my favorite chapters. If I have a favorite chapter, that would be one. In chapter 40. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. On down in chapter 41. Notice in verse 13. I will help thee. You would in verse chapter 44. In chapter 44, notice verse 24. He says, "Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that searcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." And made it. He that established it, he created it not in vain, formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is what? There is none else. Look in verse 21.
Tell ye and bring them near, yea, let them take counsel together, who have declared this from ancient time, who have told it from
that time.
Have not I, the
Lord, there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye safe, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. So tonight what I want you to understand is not only as we take this pilgrimage, when we become overwhelmed, that we can't see tomorrow, we don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, don't forget who we are. We're dust. We're grass. That withereth. We're something that is temporary. But don't forget who He is. He is creator of all things. He created us. He created the worlds. He created it to be inhabited. And so therefore, what we need to do is quit using God as a spare tire, and we need to look to God for our help in times of trouble. He's an ever-present help. In our time of trouble, we can come boldly to the throne of grace in time of need. And folks, we need to learn to trust in God.
Amen.
Somebody said, "Well, I'm going to the doctor." Doctors can only do so much. Now, I'm sure each one of us could stand and tell a story where a doctor or a nurse or someone let you down. I know I can. I was in it for 25 years. I found out something about doctors. You know what I found out? I found out they go to school like we go to school. Some of them learn the subject very well. Some of them don't learn it. Some of them can do it very practically good, and some of them cannot do it practically. I've seen doctors that couldn't even start an IV. Then I've seen some that was very knowledgeable and could pass all the tests, and I saw some that just barely... I jumped over his test. Had one doctor one time, we teach a course, and he failed it. It was advanced cardiac life support. And he failed it, not only failed it, he failed it miserable. And he was an ER doctor. And he said, my job depends upon it. I said, and he was trying his best to convince me to pass him. I said, I'm not going to pass you. I said, I can't pass you. I don't want you working on me. I don't want you working on my children if you don't know any more than that. And so let me tell you something. They're human. They can go to the level of their abilities. Some of them are very good at what they do. Some of them are not so good at what they do, just like any other profession. But they have limitations. Trust God. Trust God. God is pleased when we put Him in a place where He belongs. Is there anything too hard for God? Amen? Then why should we not trust in God? We need to be very careful. Look back, if you would, in Psalms chapter 121. Notice the first few words. On your pilgrimage, when you get overwhelmed, let me give you something to help you. First, the first thing that starts is I. No one can do it for you but you. It's personal. If you don't trust in Him, other people can't help you. This is a journey you have to take for yourself. Some of us are going to be so overwhelmed that we'll be nowhere, no one else will be anywhere. As Paul said over in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, all forsook him except the Lord. There'll be some times in your life where no one will be there but the Lord. There'll be times in your life where it seems like everybody else is always somewhere else. But the Lord will be there. So you've got to do this. If you're going to deal with your journey and deal with it in the right manner, it starts with I. Having that personal relationship and dependency upon who to look to. And that is God. And there's no greater time to get close to God than when you're being overwhelmed. You know why God likes for us to fall upon our faces and cry out to God? Because we exalt Him as God when we do. We give Him the glory of who He is, our Creator. And we trust in Him. Look at the second word. I will. It's willful upon you. You've got to choose to do it. Nobody else can. You got to choose it. It's your choice. When you become overwhelmed in this journey, who are you going to look to? Somebody said, well, I'm going to look to Mom and Dad. Well, let me tell you something. There'll be a time when Mom and Dad's not here. I used to have Mom and Dad, but I don't have Mom and Dad anymore. Not going to be long for some more of you not going to have Mom and Dad. Mom and Dad is not your help. Your help is the Lord. And so not only does it take something personal, you have to willfully submit your will unto the Lord. That's what he means over in James when he said, if you'll draw nigh to me, I'll draw nigh to you. He's waiting for you. He wants to. He wants to be right there with you. He wants to be the strength. He wants to be the strength of your help. And the joy of the Lord will be your strength. As your days are, so shall your strength be. But he's waiting for you to draw nigh to him. I will. Look at the next word. I will what? It's active. You got to put your faith in action. You got to lift up your eyes unto the Lord. You got to look to where your help's going to come from. You've got to trust and believe in Him. Remember what Jesus said when Nicodemus was having a hard time understanding salvation? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You know all that amounted to? Whenever they built that serpent, that brass serpent that God told Moses to build, when they were getting bit by the serpents and dying, put it on a pole, put it in the middle of the camp, and he said, whoever will look upon that, even though they've been bit, they shall live. You know what saved them? The same thing saves you and I. We don't look upon the serpent when we've been bit, because we're not bit by those fiery serpents, we're bit by the old serpent. And the old serpent that's bit us with sin, we look to the tree of Jesus Christ. And if he be lifted up, he will draw all men to him. And when we look by faith and look at him, though we are going to die, yet will we live. And so therefore, you've got to put your faith in action. You've got to humble yourself. The Bible says God dwells in the high lofty place of heaven and among a humble and contrite heart. So you have to take a personal responsibility to humble yourself. Submit your will to God's will, and to lift your eyes to look unto Him. Then look on. You got to look in the direction that He wants you to look. He wants you to look up. Notice in the Bible, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. Verse number 3. He knows that we are always susceptible to slip in our journey. There's all the times that we make journeys and we make treacherous journeys. I used to do mountain rescue, used to do cave rescues, used to do water rescue. And people would slip. Some people would walk across these hills and cliffs, It'd be like any other day, and they'd be walking along looking at something, maybe chasing something, maybe getting their mind somewhere else, and they'd slip. Then we'd pick them up in the lake. We'd pick them up wrapped around a tree, pick them up all other places. They go down to Stones Valley, go into the cave system. There was one place down there that was real slick, had water running over it. They'd go down there, didn't know the caves very well, and their foot would slip. They'd fall and break their leg, and we'd have to go down there and get them and bandage their leg. The journey is dangerous. You and I, as we make this journey, the devil tries every way in the world to put traps in front of us. And he'll try, and he wants us to slip. And what he wants us to do is get our eyes off of God and quit trusting in him and trust something else in our journey. The lost people are different. How many of you have ever walked these creeks around here or rivers on the moss, a rock that's covered with moss? How many of you have done that? How many of you have ever fell? Lost people are like that. Their whole life they're walking on moss. And suddenly, in a moment's time, their foot will slip and they'll go down in destruction when they least expect it. But not us. Underneath us is everlasting arms. But the devil still tries to get us slip up. He says that he will not suffer thy foot to be moved, and he that keepeth thee will not slumber. Knows how many times he reminds us that he keeps us, he preserves us. Now, knows here that in verse 4 he said, behold, he keepeth Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. He knows sometimes that we fall asleep at the wheel. We're not paying attention and we're not alert like we should be alert. That's when things come in our life. That's when things happen. David this morning, he overslept. He'd been doing something else. But God never slumbers or sleeps. He keeps. Look on, if you would, in verse number 5. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. You know, the Lord is always there to help us with all our enemies. The Bible tells us our enemy is not flesh. Somebody said, well, so-and-so, they're my enemy. No, the devil's your enemy. You say, well, how about them? They're just being used by the devil. But you know what? He's there to help us in all of our enemies that we have to face. As these pilgrims made their pilgrimage, they didn't know from what tree the thieves were going to jump out. They didn't know when they would try to take them and kill them, take their life and all that. They just had to trust God. Look in verse 6. The sun shall not smite thee. The elements. Not only were they have to be careful about the enemy, they had to be careful about the elements. The moon by night. You see, the sun would give them sunstrokes sometimes and affect their physical bodies. The moon, they called them moonstrokes, it would affect their minds. And see, what happens is this. When our bodies, physical bodies, begin to have issues, when our minds go places where they shouldn't be, that's when the devil comes in and tries to destroy us. He can't destroy our soul. The Lord is preserving our soul. He can only attack your mind. When he tempts you, he can only put something out here and try to tempt you. But with every temptation, God always makes a way that we can escape from that. And so therefore, what we have is, we have someone who always protects us from our enemies and from the elements that we face. Look in verse 7 and 8. We're going to close. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. In other words, he watches, he keeps us, he observes us, he guards us, he has charge of all things, and he removes us from evil. I'm so thankful that God is preserving us. He that began a good work in us, he's going to perform it until it's all the day of the Lord. He's going to perform it until then. He says in the Lord in verse 8, he said, he shall preserve thy soul in verse 7. The Lord shall preserve thy going out, thy coming in from this time forever, and even what? Thank God. He's not only going to keep us now, he's going to keep us until eternity. Amen. Somebody said, how do you know? Because the Bible tells me that when I was born again, my body became a temple of the Holy Spirit. The Bible tells me that Holy Spirit lives within me. The Bible says that I am sealed by the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. You know when the day of redemption is? When I get my new body. And look here. I'm sealed. You know what that means? The devil can play with this. The devil can play with this. But the devil can't get this. I am sealed until the day of redemption. I am preserved. He has got me sealed, preserved from this point forevermore. And I don't know what tomorrow has. I don't know what he sees. I don't know how where he's going to lead me. I don't know what I'm going to have to go through. But I know this. You take one day at a time and you trust in God. And he tells us in Genesis, as our days, so shall our strength be. And our strength cometh from the Lord. When? Paul said, I had to learn it. When I am weak, then I am strong. Let's stand tonight, if you would. Maybe tonight, God's got something upon your heart that you need to move. Maybe tonight you just need to draw nigh to God. Maybe tonight you need to say, Lord, help me as I go through this. Many of us go through mental problems, physical problems, other issues in our lives. We face all kinds of elements and enemies on this journey. But maybe tonight, well, Lord, I've took my eyes off you. I need to put my eyes back on you and trust in you. And I just want to come, and Lord, just trust in you tonight and draw nigh to you. How about it? He says, if we'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to us. Resist the devil, and he shall flee from us. Amen.